by my handy dandy little iPhone. It's about a minute after, so others may be popping in as we go, but we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome everybody to the second session of Read and Write. We in the past have titled this Read and Write, a learning tool for everybody, which really is a very appropriate title for the tool for it. Anyway, this session we're going to be looking at the reading tools. Just a little update on last week's sessions. I apologize for the technical errors that we had, technical issues we had. Fortunately, Sean and I had recorded little video clips for the two things that we shared last week, and you all should have got a link to those on YouTube to make up for not getting that information done correctly last week. If you did not get a link to the two YouTube videos, one on the toolbar and one on setting up speech, let me know. Sean will be putting my email address in the chat window here after a while, but be sure and email me and let me know that you did not get that, and I will send it to you directly so that you can have the videos for last week's topics. Also, I apologize. We don't have last week's recording up yet because there were also some issues with that, and we did find out Windows updates were the big problem with our technical issues last week, and so we tried to make sure we didn't have any of those coming in today, so hopefully they won't pop in and be gremlins for us. But anyway, the recording, the Zoom recording last week actually cut off after just a few minutes, so last week's session didn't get in there, and Norm doesn't have that up yet because I messed around and didn't get it to Norm in a timely manner, so I apologize for that as well. I think we're much more on top of things this week, technically speaking, so hopefully the recording of the session will go better and the presentation of Read and Write will go better as well. Well, we've been testing it for about the last 30 minutes and everything has been working great, so we'll pray that that continues. Okay, Read and Write actually has four areas that it addresses. Reading has tools for reading, tools for writing, tools for research, and tools for study. This week we're going to be touching on the reading tools, show you some of those. Next week will be the writing tools, and then the last week we'll cover both the study skills and research tools. Excuse me. So first off, I'm going to explain a little bit about the reading buttons. So on the Read and Write toolbar, you have five buttons that control reading. Of course, you have rewind, you have play, pause, forward, and stop. And they're pretty self-evident. The play button, you click that to start playing. Then you have the pause button and the stop button. If you click the pause button, it stops right where you're at, but it also disables all the other tools on the Read and Write toolbar, except for the stop button. So you can't rewind or forward or anything when you're in the pause mode. You actually gotta stop it to be able to use the other tool.
Hang on 1 second, Robert. Looks like our captioner lost the input when we switched it to when it got switched to full screen on their side, so we're gonna let the captioner catch back up to us real quick.
Okay.
Good go.
Okay, so we are up with everything. So if you wanna use the other tools, you have to use the stop button, not the pause button. The rewind and forward buttons will work depending on the setting that you have it set to in the read by setting. So if you have it set to read by sentence, clicking forward is going to jump forward to the next sentence, back is going to jump back to the previous sentence. And same if you have it set by paragraph or word, it's going to jump by those blocks. And you'll see that here in just a few moments. So, and that's the basic uses of the reading tool, the reading buttons. Of course, by the play button is a little drop-down menu that opens the speech menu, and that's where you make all the adjustments. So we're going to go there first because I'm going to make a few adjustments, and I'll explain why I'm doing this. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set it to read by paragraph, and then I'm going to turn off automatically read next block. Okay. Then we're going to go load a Word document. And Sean's going to go grab this off flash drive for me.
No, I just went ahead and loaded it.
Okay, we're there. Okay, good. Blind car thief. So for somebody to read this document, basically all they have to do is click in front of the first paragraph where they want to start reading, and then go up on the toolbar and click the play button, and we'll let that read for you so you can see and hear what's happening.
Police have arrested Romania's blind car thief for stealing a car and crashing into a tree for the second time in 1 month. But this time, Alan Prica, 24, managed to drive the stolen car 25 miles before crashing into a tree. Reports said every newspaper, Prica allegedly stole the car with another blind pal and a sighted friend in the passenger seat telling him which direction to drive.
So as you can see, it read the paragraph. It does a background highlighting of the block as you have it set, paragraph, sentence, or word, and then it reads those blocks to you. When it got to the end of that block, it stopped. Now, if I wanted to read that paragraph again, I would just simply go up and click the play button. If I wanted to go to the previous paragraph, which in this case, it would be the title up at the top, I would click back and it would read that one. If I wanted to go on to the next paragraph, I would click the forward button and it would read the next paragraph. If the document has blank lines between paragraphs, which a lot of documents do, read and write will probably stop at the blank line. So click it forward once will just take you to that blank line, put it a paragraph. And clicking forward again will actually take you to the next technical paragraph, if you will. So that's how that works. Now, the reason I chose paragraph is I'm thinking from a point of view of a student doing proofreading, because I know probably most of us in this are people who work at higher education or education facilities, and people are writing papers and proofreading. So by doing this, I'm able to see, did all of the information in this paragraph go together? Is this a good paragraph? Do I have stuff in here that shouldn't be in this paragraph? Do I need to break it into more than one paragraph? Or is it too short? By hearing it read back to me, it helps me focus on that information. If I was doing a tighter, more cut down proofreading, in other words, I wanted to know each sentence, make sure my sentences are correct, I would switch to read by sentence and have it stop, not automatically read every block. That way I could hear each sentence. When I tell students, if you type a sentence and when you play it back, it takes 2 minutes to read it, you probably have a run-on sentence and you may want to do something with it. If you click play and it says two words and you're done, you probably don't have a full sentence, you need to work on it. So this is a way for proofreading, depending on how they're wanting to proofread. And I recommend students go through their paper twice, once reading by paragraph, make sure the paragraphs are together. And then the second time, go by sentence so they can make sure their sentence structures sound correct. Okay. Now, that's if I'm proofreading. But what if I'm just proofreading, or what if I'm just reading for information? So for example, this is an article. I'm just reading it to see what it says. I don't want to have to sit here and click forward every paragraph. So that's where I would go back to that speech menu. We'll drop that down. And I'm going to set it to read by sentence this time. And I'm going to turn on automatically read next block. And we'll let it read a little bit for you so you can see the difference. And we'll go to our next block and start reading there, Sean.
A police spokesman said he drove the car following instructions from his friend who could see. But again, the journey ended with a crash. We were astonished for the second time in a month by this same man.
Okay. So as you can see, it highlights by sentence because that's what our reading block is, but it doesn't stop at the end of each sentence. It keeps going on. So this is how I would read for information as opposed to proofreading. So depends on what style of reading you're doing, what's the purpose, and how it will work for you. I think that was all I was going to show on here, Sean. So I'm going to turn it over to you for your part.
Karen has a question.
Okay.
Does it still read the same with different fonts? Example being the title.
Yes. In fact, go ahead and go up there and click on the title, Sean, since that is in a bolder font and everything, and just let it read that for us.
Anova, England, UK, Monday, November 29, 2004. Blind car thief strikes again. Police.
Okay. So, yeah, it reads whether it's a heading style or just bold text or larger font, smaller font. That really does not affect the text-to-speech feature. Any other questions? Okay.
Your question list. All right.
We'll let Sean do his part now.
right, we're gonna go over now, we're gonna go and leave that file open down at the bottom, we're gonna come back to it later. But let's go to reading on the web. So we're gonna use Internet Explorer. It works best with Internet Explorer if you're using Firefox or Chrome, Safari, Firefox or Chrome. You do have some plugins that you would need to get, and as long as those plugins get installed properly, then you should be fine using those. But Internet Explorer does work the best with this. So let's go to the Easy website and see what we can make happen over here. So when you go to that drop-down menu, you're just going to go to Read the Web.
EC equal access to soft EC equal access to software and information. EC equal.
Make that stop. So this works a little bit differently.
Equal access.
Because it's going to try to read whenever I get my mouse over the text. So we're going to try and jump down to where it has a. Let's go down to this. The part we see on the bottom, easy resources provide up-to-date information. So if I wanted to read that.
Easy resources provide up-to-date information about how institutions can create and maintain system-wide IT facilities that will be accessible for all of its members, whether students, faculty, easy webinars.
So you'll see that the reading buttons up at the top are still able to
what's happening?
Manipulate where the text is reading and what it's reading. But generally, the easiest way to do it would just be to hover over text using your mouse.
Many govern the accessibility of websites via EC.
And it tries to grab a lot of information if you're not there quickly. So.
EC provides several webinars each month. Many of the webinars are free. Everyone completing one of these month-long courses with EC course starting on November. EC webinars and courses.
So, you can bounce around the page, read what you want to when you want to. And again, Firefox and Chrome do have plugins for this. You just need to get those and make sure that they do install appropriately. But I would suggest just sticking with Internet Explorer if you're using that feature. Not a whole lot really to cover with the Read the Web. Robert, can you think of anything really in there that you would want to add?
The only thing I would point out is Sean doesn't, he didn't have to click those places to get it to read. That's one problem I have a lot of my students. They're so used to clicking on things, so they'll move their mouse point over and they'll start clicking, but that actually just kind of delays reading right, actually grabbing the text and reading it, and you could accidentally click a link. So it does take a little getting used to the concept of just put your mouse there, hover it, don't click, and let it grab the text and read it to you. The other thing that my students sometimes have difficulty with, once it starts reading, they want to move the mouse over to someplace else because they're used to putting it over to the side of the screen out of their way while they're working or reading. So they move the mouse, well then it jumps and starts trying to grab text elsewhere. So put the mouse there and just let it sit while it reads is what I try to train my people to do.
And any questions over Read the Web? Okay, looking good. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close this down. And now we're going to look at PDF Aloud. So this is a PDF reader that's built into Read and Write. We can't see it right here because we have all these different tools up on our reading toolbar. So again, whenever you have additional tools, you're going to see this little double right arrow. When you click on that, we will see PDF Aloud. So when you click on PDF Aloud, it's going to have us access the file that we want. So we're going to use this LIPS file, another wonderful story that Robert likes to use. It's pretty funny though. Excuse me. So we'll get this loaded up.
According to a radio report on a middle
school. And that's already going really quickly. So the PDF Aloud.
Finally, the principal decided that something had.
No. No, you'll be able to click where you want to go. Let's go ahead and change. Let's see, we'll leave by sentence. And so with PDF Aloud, you'll click where you want it to read. So you don't have that hover option like you do with Read the Web, but if you want to start at the beginning.
Lips.
And I went ahead and turned off the continuous automatically read next block of text feature for this. The something that you will notice though is that you're going through, you don't have the ability to use the rewind and forward buttons. So navigating, if you're not listening to the whole thing at once, you will want to click around the page if you're trying to skip content.
According to a radio report, a middle school in Oregon was faced with a unique problem. A number of girls were beginning to use lipstick and would put it on in the bathroom. That was fun.
And so one of the things that you'll see is if you hit stop and then play, it'll start back up from the beginning. So you do want to avoid using that stop button.
A number of girls were beginning.
And just use the pause button if you want to continue where you left. Similar to what Robert was talking about earlier when he was explaining the specific reading buttons.
Beginning to use lipstick.
So just something to keep in mind when you're working inside of PDF Aloud and the way that you control the audio and navigation of it, because you are lacking a couple tools that you would normally have inside of a Word document. Did you want to touch on anything else with this? Potentially.
Do we want to be brave and try showing the PDF tools?
We could show them. We'll see if they work
or
not.
I'll explain what we were just. You can actually have the PDF Aloud tools show in Adobe Reader if you're using Adobe 10 or 11.
I do have one question coming up here.
Oh, okay. Let's answer that first.
PDFs can have pictures. Are they strict, or does this document just not have pictures?
This document just does not have pictures. No, PDF Aloud does not strip the pictures out. And if my memory serves me correctly, if there is alt text on the picture, read and write will read the alt text. I'm going to make a note to myself to double text that, and I will clarify that next week if I'm right or wrong on that. But I believe read and write will actually read the alt text if it is there.
All right, so we're going to jump into Adobe Reader. And I'll show you what we were talking about. So we have lips document here. Let's go and get that pulled up. So there are features inside of Adobe Reader that get you access to be able to use PDF Aloud. So right now, if we go up to Extended on the top right, and we pull up the Extended pane, we'll see the PDF Aloud toolbar. So this gives us the ability to click and speak, and also gives us additional navigation tools and the read by word sentence paragraph, with the options being continuous reading and not giving us help. We haven't been able to get this to work recently. You'll see the highlighting happen, but we, for some reason, the audio is not working. I know Robert's been in touch with TextHelp on figuring out what's going on with that. Do you have any updates or anything for them?
One thing I did notice is my Acrobat is not up to date. I've got notices that I need to update it, and I haven't done that yet. So that could be part of the problem, but TextHelp is also looking into it, because this is something that just recently started happening. It should be reading within the PDF document. The speech should be there as well as everything else. So again, when we know more from TextHelp systems and their support people, we will let you know what's going on here too.
All right, so that's the PDF Aloud features, and now we'll get to move on to SpeechMaker.
Okay, SpeechMaker is a nifty tool. A lot of our students are athletes, or they like to work out, they're very busy. We are a commuter campus, so we have people who sometimes drive quite a distance to get here. We have students who drive from Leavenworth. We have a Leavenworth campus, but a lot of them still come down to our main campus for classes. You know, that's a 30 to 45 minute drive, depending on where they're coming from. So they spend a lot of time on the road, on the bus, et cetera. So this tool can be very helpful for somebody in those situations, because what this allows you to do, and we're gonna use our blind card thief document again, it allows you to select some text. So we're gonna select the text of the document. And then we're gonna go up and click on the SpeechMaker tool. And it's going to let us create an audio file of this text, just an MP3 file. You could change the format to be a WAV if you want to, but MP3s are smaller, and that's what most people are used to using. So once we select the text and we click on that tool, it gives us a couple of options. We can see the text that it's going to convert. There is a limit on how much, but I can't remember what the size of how much text it can take. I've not hit that problem in the past, so it's pretty good size chunk of text you can put in there. But anyway, and here it lets you give the file a name, and we're just gonna call this practice, let's call it test. So it won't interfere with the other files like that. And we're going to let it be an MP3. We're going to save it to my flash drive, which is called test drive. So we're going to set that. Now that we've got all that set, if I wanted to change the speech settings here, I could. We could go in and select different voices. We could adjust the rate and things like that. But I'm just going to go, actually, let's set it to UK Daniel because I kind of like that voice. So we're going to select UK Daniel. And then we're going to tell it, okay, and it's going to create an MP3 file of this article. And save it on my flash drive. And then if I'm going to be going out jogging, I can put this on my MP3 player and listen to my textbook while I'm jogging. And of course, we all know every student wants to listen to a textbook while they're jogging, right? But it really does give students an opportunity to listen to material that they may be going to be taking the test over, you know, while they hop on the bus and they have a 20-minute ride to college before they take the test. Just a good way to review some information before they actually have to jump in and take the test. Let's see, is it finished?
It is finished. Okay. We are ready to go.
We'll go ahead and go click on this file and just pull it up and let you hear what it sounds like.
Blind car thief strikes again. Police have arrested Romania's blind car thief for stealing a car and crashing into a tree for the second time in 1 month.
Okay, so you can hear.
A question.
Okay.
Oh, just a comment from Beth. They used to listen to textbooks in the tanning booth.
textbooks and a tanning booth. Okay, yeah. I mean, you got nothing else to do, right? So, but yes, you can. Students do, you know, study in the odd places. So, and if they have audio text, it makes it even easier. We've had several students who told me they try to get their books from Amazon. These are not students with disabilities. These are our general population students. They told me they get their books from Amazon so they can hear them. While they drive to and from work or to and from school. So it's a very popular thing for people to do. It's easy to do, you know, didn't take rocket science to do any of that. The hardest part is actually figuring out how to get it to your device once you got the MP3 file created. So, okay, so we are going to now move to Sean doing the dictionaries.
All right, so up on the top left, you'll see we have a couple different dictionaries. Let's go ahead and get that unselected. We're going to start with just a regular dictionary. I'm going to show you the drop-down menu here. We have advanced definitions, basic definitions, and web definitions. So we're going to start with just the basic one. The web definitions, that uses Google. So you do want to be connected to the internet, so just keep in mind it does use the Google dictionary. So if you're using the web definitions, you'll need that on. So having it on the basic definitions, let's go with, how about car or tree? Let's use tree. So we're going to select our word tree. And once we get that word selected, then we'll just hit the dictionary icon. It's going to pull up our word that we have, which we could manipulate this and change it into something else we want to, which we might in a bit. And then it has the definition. The cool thing about this is that we can also hear the definition. So if we go up and hit play.
One. A tall, thick plant with a trunk, branches, and leaves that can live for a long time. We planted peach trees in the garden.
Even gives you a nice little sentence. So we're going to close this, and we're going to go back up and set it on advanced. So we'll, again, select our word using the same one. And now we have a lot more definitions. So if, for example, this might be a college paper and they need multiple different definitions or want to have some different ideas or different things that it could possibly mean, this might be a better option than if maybe it's not something important and you just need to know, like the last definition showed us, just one basic definition. So we have the option to still play it.
One, a tall perennial woody plant having a mate to plant with trees. This lot should be treated so that the hathery chase an animal up a tree.
So it's really cool that I can also read the definition. Robert, read up the
definition something? I'm just going to say, for a college student, if you're working with college, secondary, actually even high school students, I would recommend going to the advanced dictionary because the word usage is more advanced. It gives better definitions. The basic dictionary is probably okay for, you know, junior high or elementary student, but I wouldn't recommend it for anything else. What I actually found is some of the words are not even in the basic one. So, for example, we used custodian one time, and the basic dictionary didn't even come up. And when we switched to the advanced dictionary, it did come up.
And something else I want to show you inside here is this advanced feature. So in here, this can show us different types of trees or different kinds of tree. A tree is a part of these things, parts of a tree, words related to tree. So let's actually change our word and let's change it to car. Actually, let's go truck. And we'll have our definitions, and then we can go to different kinds of truck and click on our words. And over on the right, you'll see that there are additional words that we may end up wanting to use. Is it a dump truck or a tipper truck? Tipper lorry. I'm not sure what those even are, so let's learn something today. Let's say tipper truck. I'm not sure. Is there gonna should let us click on those, but doesn't want to. So let's see. Mess that up. Hang on a second, let me get back in there. Something else that we can do, and actually I'll just show you this because it kind of took me there anyways. When we go into the dictionary, it will allow us to make adjustments. So if we actually don't want this document to say car, we can switch it over and change it to automobile. So now it has police have arrested Romania's blind automobile thief, which sounds entertaining as well. So lots of different things that we can do in here. I want to show automobile as a part of something, but let's go with a branch. So here we're going to look at a branch as a part of these things. So I just typed in the word branch because that worked. So this shows different things that a branch may be. A watery layer of, sorry, that's a cat.
Okay, we got to voicemail now.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I forgot to set that up this time.
So here you can just kind of get a lot of different information as far as different kinds of branch or branch or part of these things, parts of a branch. Or maybe we could do like leaf and see what that comes up with. A leaf is a part of these things. So just a lot of really cool things you can do in here to find different information and be able to use different words if you're looking to make any adjustments or highlight certain aspects of your writing. Okay, let's jump over in now.
Let me give you a little example there. The gentleman was telling me that he was trying to remember what a particular...
A question coming in, sorry.
Okay, let's change that
first. Question for later, go ahead.
Okay. He was trying to remember a name of a cloud. He couldn't remember it, so he went in here and he put in cloud, and of course clicked on types of cloud, and it brought up all the different types of cloud, and he was able to check the definitions to make sure he was getting the right cloud. So that's one way it can help. Another example was a person couldn't remember what the nut off of this tree was. They couldn't remember what type of tree it was, so they put in tree, and they went to types of tree, found oak, and parts of an oak tree were acorns. And that's how they found that. So it can almost be used as a research tool as well. So thesaurus, dictionary, thesaurus, spell check kind of thing, all of that can be done from this online dictionary or this dictionary built into Read&Write.
Jessica from KU was asking this question for later, but we can go ahead and handle it. I'm going to send a response now. She keeps getting interrupted on her end and missed last week because she was out. So she was wondering if we're recording these, and if so, can we get a copy?
These sessions are being recorded. Unfortunately, last week's recordings did not do well, but I did post the two links to cover the material that we showed last week. So you should have those. They are actually on YouTube. If you did not get those, let me know. But today we're recording the whole session, and that will be posted. And I'm going to do a much better job getting that to Norm ahead of time so that he can post it. We're also going to try posting the transcript from the captioning window as well, in case you want just the transcript. Okay. Are you going to show the picture dictionary?
I sure am.
All right. Picture dictionary. This is kind of cool.
And we do have another chat coming in. Oh, I should get the links. Thank you for those. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. So the picture dictionary is pretty fun. So again, this will give you the different options, which are use a selected word or use the word on the clipboard. We're just going to use our selected word, crashing. And when you click on it, it's going to show pictures of things crashing. Red and blue car and a ball against a wall, it looks like. So if you're not sure what it means and you would like some visual aid on showing you, you can do this. And you still have access to the dictionary by clicking on the word crashing, which takes you right over to the dictionary advanced definitions, showing you all the same features that we previously had.
And I might point out, you'd think, well, that's pretty elementary, you know, elementary children might use it. We've also found this to be helpful for students who English is not their first language, and, you know, they're reading and it talks about, you know, a scroll. Well, what on earth is a scroll? You know, they can use this picture dictionary to bring up a picture of it and say, oh, that's what it is. Now, scroll is pretty simple. That might not be as complicated, but other things that they're reading about might not be as clear, so they can pull up a picture of it and see it, and then they know in their language what that is, and that helps them make that connection with the English language that they're working in now. So it is very helpful for people who English is not their first language, or people that just need visual reference to things, maybe some memory issues. So it's a very powerful tool in its own right.
It's also connected to some stuff we'll get into later on in the next couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. When so, we get into study skills, the fourth week.
Yep. So something to look forward to there. We'll definitely be coming back to some really fun pictures at some point. So that's it for the dictionaries.
Okay. And that's pretty much it. Initially in this session, we covered the translator as well. We weren't going to do that today because I didn't think we'd have time. But when I thought about it, it actually, we usually run out of time on that because we're doing hands-on. So, Sean, do you want to demonstrate the translator real quick?
Or? Sure, might as well. And we also, I mean, pronunciation tutor as well, if we still have time. I guess
let's do the translator because I think that could be helpful, especially if you're working with people who, again, English is not their first language, or maybe somebody who's having to translate some words from English to a different language. So we'll demonstrate that. And also, if you have any questions over what we've already covered and we need to go back and redo something, we have plenty of time to do that. So go ahead and be thinking of your questions and typing them in the chat room while Sean takes a couple minutes and demonstrates the translator for us.
All right, we're going to go into the translator options. And we're going to see the different languages that we can translate from. And translate to. So we're just going to stick with Spanish. As you can see, there are a lot of options now. And then our display settings. So there's a lot of different things we can control, including the voice settings, which we will leave at medium. But you may end up wanting to get those slower or faster, depending on your competency in certain languages. So we're going to go ahead and click OK. See if there's anything else that we need to, let's go ahead and leave it there. You have to forgive me, I haven't messed with the translator in a while. So let's get that pulled up. Okay, so we're going to click on please, and here we will see the noun and the verb. You stay over there.
Please. But this time, Alan Prica.
My
stop
apologies.
Noun. Police noun. Bofia. Policia. Policia.
So again, with my lack of using this recently, I forgot that you just click on it to have it read. So you do get the audio coming through as far as what it should sound like. And then you also have the
mantener servicio de policía en
examples of that. We have our preferences tab. And here we can switch from French, Spanish, German, and Italian for this aspect of the translator. We can control the voice speed. And auto hide the window if we don't need to worry about it. Let's check something else out real quick though. I want to do the paragraph translation.
Absolutely, you can say the block translation.
And let's do that. Okay. Let's see if it'll read it for us.
La policía arrestó al ladrón de automóviles ciego de Rumania por robar un automóvil y estrellarse contra un árbol por segunda vez en un mes. Pero esta vez, al implica de 20.
Okay, so with this one, you'll see that opens up a different window. So it's not
la policía
going to operate the same way. Let's do a little bit of a smaller section here. So this one, for the paragraph translation, you'll select your text and then go to the translator. And what you're seeing right now is the view that you get when you use one of those tools that aren't on the main ribbon up top. So that's why it looks a little bit different than you would if it was, say, over to one of these main sections and you're using these drop downs. Now, Robert, you may need to remind me on this, since it does open it up inside of, looks like Internet Explorer, is this something that you have to be connected to the internet to use when you're using the paragraph translator?
Yes, you do have to be connected to the internet for the translator work because it uses the Google Translator. So it goes online and uses Google Translator for the actual translation. So this is one of the tools you have to be connected to the internet to use. Picture Dictionary is another one that you have to be connected to the internet to use. Not the regular dictionary, but Picture Dictionary. Now, if you're using the regular dictionary on setting on web, you do have to be connected to the internet, but not for basic or advanced.
And as you'll see, there's a little play button over on the left side to play instead of using the features up top. And any questions over those? See any questions coming through? I think we're good to continue.
All right, so you want to go ahead and do the pronunciation tutor?
No, why not? We're working on stuff that we
since we have time.
We're expecting, and yeah, we got time
the,
for it.
Put me on the spot again.
Agreed. Let's see, I don't think I have the pronunciation tutor turned on. So we're going to go through the pronunciation tutor now. And since we don't have it currently available in our toolbar, we are going to go down to our general options, similar to what we did last week. And this is where it could come in handy to know where all these different tools are and how to get them added or removed from a toolbar. So we can see our dictionary and everything's in here, homophone information, get homophone suggestions. So we are going to go down and find our pronunciation tutor. There it is. Actually, I'm going to remove a couple of these just so we can see those up top. So we're going to get rid of homophone suggestions, and for now, we'll get rid of the dictionaries. Okay. And so now all we have over here is help. So we have all of our different tools up here in the translator. What that would look like normally would be this guy. So with the pronunciation tutor, we'll see it right here. There isn't a drop-down box for it. So let's say we need to know how to pronounce automobile, the word that we changed earlier. So we select the word, and then we just click the pronunciate or pronounce icon.
Automobile. Automobile.
And you'll see that it has the pronunciation with the lips moving with it. Additionally, you have it broken down into the syllables. We can change the voice in here, so let's see what it sounds like with, let's try Microsoft David.
Automobile.
Oh my. David doesn't sound too good on that one.
And then if we go to our advanced, we can display the phonetic letters, which look very confusing to me. So if you are needing those or know somebody that can or would like to use them, they're there. And then the equivalent. So just some information there. I personally would never use that information, but just to show you that it is there. As you see, you don't have to use the lips, and that voice is not good for me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better for me.
Yeah.
So.
And it purposely, even though our speed on our voice is set up, it purposely slows down and enunciates each syllable. So that you can get a better, so somebody trying to learn how to pronounce a particular word can hear it in a slower format. So it's not a matter of the voice is messed up or we slowed it down. It automatically does that. But if we go back to read the document, it will read back to the normal voice speed.
Hello.
And as you can see, if you want to type in a word, it is an editable box. So you can go in and type in other words if you need to do that while you're in the pronunciation tutor.
And I'll talk about, if you're done with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'll talk about one other reading tool that we usually don't touch on because we usually don't have the technology when we're doing this in a hands-on lab. But Read and Write has a scan tool. And basically what it lets you do, say your student, the teacher forgets to send you a document so you can convert it in electronic format and they only have a photocopy from a magazine. But they want the students to read that article. So he gets a hard copy of an article that's supposed to be read before the next class. You don't have time to convert it because they don't have time to get it to you. The student can actually take this, if they have a scanner connected to their computer, scan it in, and it will save it as a Word document. It'll do OCR, optical character recognition, on it, and save it as a Word document so that they can read it. It may not be perfect. It won't be as nice as what somebody with the full setup, you know, running through Abby Fine Reader and all of that and going through Word, applying the heading styles and all that. It may not be as nice as what they would get with that, but at least it is something that they can read. And they can save it, as the Word document, you know, give it a file name and keep it, and they have it for future reference as well. So that's a very nice tool. Another cool feature about the scanning tool is if you get an image-only PDF, you can pull it into the scanning tool and it will do OCR on it and save it as a Word document. So again, it can be read the same as if they had run it through a hardware scanner. So that tool can be very beneficial to students, and it is part of the reading side. It helps them be able to read hard copy information that they may struggle trying to read. And I think we've pretty much covered all of the actual reading tools that we were going to cover, and then a couple of extras, but that's okay. I'm glad to know we have plenty of time. If there's anything that you'd like us to go back and re-demonstrate or explain in more detail, we'll be happy to do that. Even if it's something from last week that you would like to see in better detail, we can try to go back and do that. We have about 10 minutes here. And while you're thinking of those questions, I will say thanks to Mr. Norm and Easy for sponsoring these webinars. And I'm glad to see our technology actually worked better this week. So it's going much better than it did last week. But thank you, Norm, for sponsoring these webinars. And I hope they're being beneficial to you guys and you're getting some information and some ideas about how to use the Read and Write and all of its tools. Sean will also go ahead and put our contact information in the chat window so that you can contact either of us. That way it'll be in this week's window as well.
So I have a question.
Okay.
When you demonstrated translation, you were...
I'm sorry, Norm, you're...
You're translating a word. What if you had a whole page and you went to translate? Well, what if you were, how long would it take to translate a page?
I think there is a text limit on how much. I don't know what that limit is. But that's more a function of the Google Translator than of read and write. So I believe you could select a whole page and have it translated. It might take a little bit longer, and that's going to depend on a few things, actually. It's going to depend on your internet connection, speed, how fast your internet is. Are you doing wireless as opposed to hardwired internet? And what kind of load is the Google Translator having at that moment? But as you saw, Sean selected a whole paragraph and it translated it almost instantaneously. So I think it would be pretty quick.
I want to let them know if they have any questions or anything to contact you.
Okay. Or you.
Oh, no, we're just putting, no, I'm kidding. I put my information in there too.
Yeah, I think Sean probably knows the ins and outs workings of this program better than I do now, because I think he's played with it more than I have over the past few years.
The only way I get to actually get in and play with it. And I actually used this program a little bit when I was going through my master's program, just because of the highlighting feature in the sound. If I was up later for some reason and reading some papers or doing whatever I need to do online and research, I think it just helped me stay focused.
I think that's called cramming.
No, I was always prepared and always did everything way ahead of time. I'm super proactive. No sarcasm in that at all. But yeah, it definitely helped me just staying focused on what I was actually reading instead of, you know, reading a paragraph or a page or a few pages and then thinking back, oh, what did I actually just read? And then having to reread it. So I found this program really beneficial just for the reading tools.
And that's why it's really become a tool that is not just for people with disabilities, but it's a tool that can help people in the general population as well.
Robert has a comment here. He said he has found that PDF Lot is very finicky with complex PDFs, common in higher education.
I haven't had any students come back and complain about that, with the exception of students who were getting image-only PDFs from their instructors, and they didn't understand what was going on, why it wouldn't read. I think that's got more to do with whether the PDF is tagged correctly or not. I may be wrong on that, but I personally haven't had that kind of feedback from students. We have had issues when PDFs were not tagged correctly. If you use the automatically read next block, it may read the paragraph you started with, then it may jump up and read the heading, then it may jump down and read the footer, then it may read the last paragraph, and that's because the read order and the tags tree in the PDF document are not set up correctly. And you'll get that a lot from publishers. Unfortunately, the PDF files we get from publishers are usually not tagged, or if they are, they're not tagged correctly.
I'm not seeing anything else coming through the chat.
But I do agree, if I can give students a Word document of a textbook as opposed to a PDF, I will generally do that unless a student, and I have a lot of students, when I give them the choice, they want PDF. They don't want the Word document, they want PDF. And my visually impaired students, no, they do not want PDFs as a rule. They want the Word documents, so. Okay. Well, so it looks like we don't have any more questions. Sean and I will hang around for a couple more minutes in here in case any questions pop in. But other than that, we will see you next week. And next week, we will be working with the writing tools to see what kind of tools this program offers to help with the writing process.
So I have one question.
Okay, we can hear you.
Obviously, does the student have to buy this? Does the teacher have to buy it? What kind of money are we looking at?
Very good question. And I didn't take time last week to cover that too much, but I'll do that now. Read and Write has different options. So if I was an individual and I wanted to go out and buy this for myself, I would be spending probably around $600 for it. Okay? But as an institution, as an institution, we bought unlimited site licenses. We have three campuses, so we have unlimited site license for all three of our campuses. And you can buy some add-ons to go with that. And one of those is a home license. So not only can we put it on any computer on our campuses, any of our three campuses, but we can also give a copy of it to any student enrolled with us or any employee of the college to take home and put on their own personal computer at no charge to them. And a lot of institutions are using this tool now. They're using that for all of their students, not just students with disabilities. I know University of Florida, I just saw a presentation from them this past summer at the AHEAD conference, where they have made three programs available to all their, or three technologies available to all of their students. One of them is Read and Write. So students can log in with their student ID, go to that web page, and download the program to their computer and have it. They don't have to be a student with a disability. They don't have to have registered with anybody. They just have to be an enrolled student at the college. So it's a very good tool, and we have a lot of students that I've helped set it up and get it going on their own personal laptops. I've had a student use it on an iPad Pro. I've had a student use it on the Microsoft, I can't even think of what, Surface Pro 3. I take that back. It was not an iPad Pro. That was a different tool. Sorry. But the Microsoft tablet, we set it up on there, and they were able to use it. And we've set it up on Windows laptops and Mac laptops, and had good success on all those platforms. I have not tried to do anything on a Google laptop, on a Chrome laptop yet, a Chromebook. But we have used it on the iPads, MacBooks, and Windows laptops with good results.
We also want to thank you for a great presentation and all of the information. A lot to digest. There was some cool stuff.
It is a very cool tool, and thank you. I'm glad it went better this week than last week.
Agreed.
Okay.
So what's next week again?
Next week will be the writing tools. So we're looking at tools to help with the writing process. The spell checker, which I love the spell checker and Read and Write, and the homophone checker. Vocabulary builder will be the last week. But the spell checker, the homophone checker, speak as I type, those kinds of tools, word prediction, all of that will be in next week's session. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We will be sending out an invite to Tuesday's meeting real soon. So stay tuned. Same bat channel, same bat time.